Welcome to our Gospel Truth radio broadcast. Today on our program, you're going to hear a teaching that I am using exclusively here on radio. This isn't on my television broadcast, but this is a teaching that I did at a Gospel Truth seminar, and it's being played exclusively for our radio audience. I believe it's going to be a blessing to you, so listen, and at the end of the program, you'll hear our announcer come on and share with you about how you can receive this very teaching that you'll be listening to today. Let me also say that last night, I did not get through with what I was wanting to say. I didn't even get to the point I was really trying to make, and I'd love to preach it this morning, but you know what? I'm going to go on to something else. But let me say that I've got a teaching back there entitled The Effects of Praise, and the third teaching in that series is where I was trying to go last night, and it fits perfectly with what I was saying, and I really encourage you to get that. We have it in either CD form or we have it in a book form, and you really need to understand about how that we were created to bless the Lord and that we can minister unto the Lord. Most people don't think this way. They think God doesn't need anything. What can I give Him? God is love, and any person who loves has a desire to have that love returned. And that's why He created us, is so that we could love Him. And God inhabits the praises of His people. Amen. You know, the Bible says that God dances over us with joy. Most people don't think this way. We think that God is up there, this hard, judgmental God who out of a sense of pity might not turn us into a pile of ashes, may not judge us, but He really isn't passionate about you. And that's totally wrong. God loves you more than you love yourself, more than anybody else loves you. And God longs for fellowship and relationship with you. And I know some of you think, not God. You don't know me. You don't know God. You don't know how merciful and gracious God is. And it ministers to God when you praise Him. And most of us don't think about that we have anything that we can minister to God about. And anyway, I'm not going to preach that, but that's a great message. You need to get that. If you haven't heard it, you need to get it. What I want to do this morning, and this morning and tonight, I've got more to say than what I can say today. And so I'm wanting to go in and show you some differences between the way people prayed and interceded in the Old Testament and the way it's done in the New Testament. I think that this is one of the ways that our opinions of prayer have been skewed, is because it was different under the Old Covenant. And most people honestly do not understand the difference between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. They think it's just one blank page in their Bible. And they think that that's it. But it is huge. It's huge, the difference between the Old and the New Covenant. And many of us just read these Old Testament scriptures, which are still tremendous benefit. I spent a lot of time studying the Old Testament. But you have to interpret it in the light of the New Testament. And the way people prayed in the Old Testament and the relationship they had with God isn't even close to the way that New Testament Christians are supposed to relate to God. And so many of us go back and take Old Testament examples, and that's who we model as our example of how to pray and do things. And it's wrong, and it'll lead you into mistakes. It's totally different now under the New Covenant. Nearly every time you'll hear somebody talk about a prophet, they'll go back and take some example from the Old Testament about a prophet like Elijah calling fire down out of heaven, 2 Kings chapter 1. And this is the way that they want to be. And yet Jesus in the New Testament in Luke chapter 9 verse 52 rebuked His disciples for even thinking of calling fire down out of heaven as Elijah did. They said, should we call fire down out of heaven the way Elijah did? And He turned and rebuked them and said, you know not what manner of spirit you are of. The Son of Man did not come to destroy man's lives, but to save them. If Jesus would have been on this earth in His physical ministry in 2 Kings chapter 2, Elijah would have been rebuked for calling down fire out of heaven and killing 102 men. Now, it wasn't wrong at the time because that was the way God was dealing with people. But under the New Covenant, it is totally different. And it's amazing how people don't understand this. And so they go out and they want to call down fire from heaven and judgment on this person. And man, under the New Covenant, you are never supposed to do that. It's a totally different day. And yet most people have no understanding of this. And so I'm going to focus on prayer and just show you some Old Testament prayers. I bet you every one of you have heard these examples used as how you're supposed to pray. And I'm going to show you that in light of the New Testament, that's wrong to pray that way. Let's start out in Genesis chapter 18
and look at an example about where Abraham interceded for his nephew Lot in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And anyway, this is quite a detailed account. I'm only going to break in to a portion of it. And this is Genesis chapter 18 and in verse 17. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they will keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." And the Lord said, "Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of which is come unto me, and if not, I will know." For those of you who aren't familiar with this, Sodom and Gomorrah, of course, was where the cities were given over totally to homosexuality and bestiality, and two angels went down and the men of the city surrounded the house and wanted to have sexual relationships with these two angels. And the two angels rained fire and brimstone down and destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, that's quite a testimony on what God thinks about homosexuality. Amen. Some people are debating this. There's even Christians that claim that they're homosexuals and that God approves of it. I don't believe God's going to rain fire down on you. You know, Jesus purchased a mercy and grace, and we're living under a period of grace, but God hadn't changed his opinion about what sin is. He may not have been pouring his judgment out on people, but homosexuality is a sin. It's an abomination. And I don't know how anybody can claim to believe the Bible and still say that homosexuality is just a matter of choice or genetics. It's not. It's a sin. God would have been unjust to have brought judgment on people if it was something that they couldn't control. But you know, it's amazing. Most people just don't let the Bible get in the way of what they believe very much. But if you believe the Bible, this is more than enough proof to me that, you know what, homosexuality is not something you want to mess with. And so in verse 20, the Lord said, "Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done according to the cry of it which has come unto me, and if not, I will know." And the man turned their faces from thence, talking about two angels, and went down towards Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, "Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy," excuse me, I turned two pages, "and not spare the place for 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" Now again, many people cite the way Abraham is praying right here and encourage you to pray this way. First of all, you know, this just amazes me that a man is sitting here and in a sense scolding God. Now, would you kill all of the people there? I mean, even the righteous people, that the judge of all the earth wouldn't do something like that. That'd be far from you to do this kind of thing. Man, it's hard for me to understand exactly how he came off with talking to the Lord this way. And anyway, in verse 26, it says, "And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sake. And Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, if I find therein 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. And he said unto him yet again, and said, peradventure there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure there shall be 30 be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30. And he said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had communed with Abraham. And it turned out that there weren't even 10 righteous. There was only one righteous person there, and that was Lot. And you can read about this in 2 Peter chapter 2, that Lot was a righteous man, but he corrupted his soul. He vexed it watching and beholding their unlawful deeds. Man, I could preach a message on that one. That is a powerful deal. But anyway, righteous was a Lot. Lot was a righteous man, but Abraham only interceded if there was 10 righteous. He felt pretty sure there must have been 10 righteous. There weren't even 10 righteous people, so the whole city was destroyed, and God rained fire and brimstone down. But here's my point. Some people teach that this is the way that God is. God is this angry God who's about to bring judgment on America. As a matter of fact, when I first got turned on to the Lord, again, you're a product of your environment. And I was taught all of these things. And so even though God had touched my life and had shown me great love, did you know I fell into the same patterns that I had been taught? And one of my favorite sayings was, I used to say, if God doesn't judge America, He's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Because we are becoming as ungodly as Sodom and Gomorrah. There's no indication that Sodom and Gomorrah ever had a gay pride parade. There is no indication that they ever did some of the things that we're beginning to do. I mean, America is not operating godly at all. And so I used to say, if God doesn't judge us, He's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah because we're as worthy of judgment. Now, with the revelation that I've got, I say that if God does judge America, He's going to have to apologize to Jesus. Because Jesus bore our sins. And Jesus bore our judgment. And the judgment of God is not going to be poured out on America. And this is different than what you hear most Christians saying. Most Christians are dangling America over hell with a thin thread that's on fire. And we're just about ready to perish.
That's all the time we have for today. But be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on a better way to pray. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Chicago Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM235 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. You can also get Andrew's book titled A Better Way to Pray for a gift of any amount when you ask for book number R321. The fourth CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the fourth teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Or you can use the speed and convenience of credit card to make a donation by telephone. Call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. Remember, your donations to this ministry keep Gospel Truth on this station Monday through Friday.
These truths that I've been sharing are just things that I've got hundreds of teachings on this. You could go to my website and you could click on there and actually download free of charge hundreds of my teachings on this. We've got television programs, radio programs. One of the things that I'm really excited about is my Andrew Womack Living Commentary, where I have verses in the Bible that I've written footnotes on. And we call it a living commentary because I'm still writing those footnotes. So you can either get the program as it is, a one-time purchase, or you can sign up and monthly get updates where you get up to 400 or 500 footnotes. Check that out at awmi.net.